Hey everybody, I'm Jeremy Foster. I'm here with Hector and Olivier from the Azure team, and we're going to talk about a number of starter kits that are going to get you into IoT really quick. Thanks for watching The Maker Show. So guys, thanks for joining me on The Maker Show. How are you doing today?
Of course. Awesome.
Doing great.
Great. All right. I'm really excited about today because we've got a lot of really cool hardware to show. We're software guys here at Microsoft, but we love our hardware too, right?
Yeah, we're not just software guys, right?
Yeah, we're also doing the hardware as well.
Yeah, we tend to like our bits, but you know, I like soldering as much these days.
Yep. Absolutely.
So you guys work on the Azure team, right?
Totally.
But you work specifically with Azure IoT, is that right?
Yeah, we have a specifically like focused team that actually tackles all the IoT story, all the way from the services down to what runs on the devices.
Okay.
And we particularly belong to the team called the Device Ecosystem Team.
Oh, wow.
Looking after these little guys here and making sure that these guys can connect to Azure.
Okay, now let's pretend that there are about four people in the crowd that have not yet heard the term IoT. Let's define that for them.
Yeah.
Four or five. I think that's probably all that could possibly be left in the world that hasn't heard the term.
Yeah, that's a fair question. So IoT stands for Internet of Things, which I think a lot of people have different definitions for it. But we like to think about the new disruption that allows you to connect almost anything to the internet and really do some like cool analytics and advanced processing on it.
Okay, so when you say devices, how broad, what's the scope of the term devices?
Devices is extremely wide. We're talking about like these billions of devices, and the stats are changing every day from IDC and other firms. And the idea is that it goes from anything which is a microcontroller that runs some software, mm-hmm. all the way up to more beefy software and servers.
Okay.
Anything that's not a PC, but runs some kind of software or electronics and is connected is one of the things that actually makes for an IoT solution. But very important as well, when we say IoT, we always talk about the little shiny things.
Yeah.
That are the things.
Yeah.
We very hardly ever talk about the internet that makes that possible.
Right.
Because it's not just about the devices being smart and connected. It's also about understanding what they're connected to and what actually will analyze the data these devices are producing in a secure way and what actually will also control these devices back. So we need to talk about the internet, which is where Azure IoT is coming to play.
Yeah, I always say a project really lights up when you hook it up to the cloud, because then it can talk not only to services and use, you know, some of these amazing services, but then it can also more efficiently and practically talk to other devices, right?
Absolutely.
Totally. Even like think about the tiny scenarios you can enable as soon as you're connected to the cloud, like having a tweeter, you know, a tweet that goes out when temperature goes below or above a certain level.
Right.
That's something that if the device is not connected, smart but not connected, you can't do. But now with cloud services, that's super easy to do.
Notifications on your smartphone from an app, for example. You know, like you can hack your own home automation system and you'll be able to like send an alert to your smartphone if something's going on, right? That's something that a few years ago, it was almost restricted to professionalized kind of components. And now you can build it in your house or yourself for very, very cheap money.
Well, and you know, it seems to me like I've always been waiting on the companies to release the products that fulfill these scenarios that I may or may not want to do. But now I just have a selection of devices and services and I get to create the scenarios.
Yep.
Like I want a tweet whenever I have the temperature go low or something completely unrelated to that. As soon as my garage door goes open, I want to let the dog in, or you know, who knows what I want to do.
Exactly. And so this is exactly what we're trying to enable. And while we are really working towards, you know, and for enterprise customers, we definitely want to make sure that makers, developers, the tinkerers are able to actually use the exact same set of services, because we are convinced that these guys are at the beginning of something bigger, right? And so today you might be building your, you know, garage door opener or your very smart, you know, thermostat. But maybe that thing you're building tomorrow will be the Nest, you know, that will make money or will be the next big huge IoT thing.
Yeah.
And so we definitely want to make sure that you guys are equipped with the information, the knowledge, the bits that you need to make these solutions easily, like fast, so that you can get to the next level.
Well, and also to be able to create these hybrid situations where the commercial products that come out are implemented in my house and so is my own thing, and they're working in concert.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. And this is where actually when you hook up things to the cloud, then you can have the services that are in the cloud talking to each other. So maybe the complexity of the programming and, mm-hmm. and the interaction and the interoperability is transferred into things that might be easier to deal with software than with electronics.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, these tiny devices actually, they have limited smarts, right? So if you want that thing to cost like $6 a unit, yeah. you can't put much memory, you can't put much like, you know, frequency in the CPU. Or actually, you might not even have a CPU, it might be just a microcontroller. So that means you need to have the smart somewhere, because these things can produce data, but you need to make something out of it. And so having your algorithms, your smarts being in the cloud makes it way easier.
Yeah.
Then can really make something out of it.
Gotcha. Well, we always end up doing a lot of talking about, you know, the overall concepts, because we're all kind of trying to wrap our heads around this space that some would define as new and some would yep. say we've been doing this for a long time. But what we're here today to discuss is these starter kits. So Hector, can you give us an introduction to, first of all, not these ones specifically, because we're going to get into that, but the concept of a starter kit. Why do we want a starter kit? What value is it to the developers? And
well, essentially, the value of a starter kit is make things simpler for developers that want to get started.
Okay.
Like, when you develop IoT applications and solutions, there's a lot of different components that you need to take into account. You need to take into account the sensors that you want to use, the board that you're going to choose, the services that you want to connect it to. And a lot of times, especially in smaller embedded devices, there's a lot of like incompatibility aspects between the sensor and the board, and then how to connect the data that you send to the cloud. So we really want to like put everything together in one kit for those folks who really want to get started
yeah.
and want to like really start developing really easily.
Okay. So does a typical kit include the board, and what, some sensors yep. and some instructions?
So the kit comes with essentially, as you said, the board. Some of the kits come with the shield, so you can connect your own sensor. Some others come with a breadboard. But essentially, it's board, sensors, and instructions.
Okay.
So we actually put together, and we'll talk about it later, but we put together very simple to use instructions that include the hardware component and the software component
okay.
for folks that actually just want to go end to end.
Okay. All right. Now, you've got all of these kits enumerated on a page that we should let everybody know, and I'll put this in the show notes, but you can just go to azure.com/IoT starter kits, and these are the 5 starter kits that we're going to be showing off today. There's one that we don't have on the desk, but we have yep. the other 4 on the desk here. So let's go ahead and get started with the first one. Talk to us about the Adafruit Raspberry Pi kit.
Yeah. So, I mean, Raspberry Pi 2 is, what can we say, is probably one of the most widely used IoT devices for prototyping out there. I think last time I checked, Raspberry Pi has sold 5+ million devices worldwide.
Wow.
So it's really, really impressive.
Really
we at Microsoft have been doing a tremendously great job with Pi 2 in making sure Windows 10 IoT Core runs on it. So this is a great option for folks that really want to start deploying their solutions using Windows 10 IoT Core. We also have the Raspbian version, the Linux version on the Pi 2 mm-hmm. running on it. And it's great. I really like it, especially if you're new to like, you know, hardware development or embedded development, because the Pi, either in Windows or in Raspbian, feels almost like a mini computer.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the troubleshooting is pretty straightforward if you're kind of like used to just developing
right.
in general. Yeah. So definitely a great option.
Yeah.
And actually, it also gives you an option in terms of various options in terms of the development, you know, languages and platforms. Because like having the two correct. OSs is one thing, gives you access to various hardware in different ways. But then, as a developer, as a software developer, or as a non-software developer, you want to actually go a specific way using a specific development kit. And if you want to go Windows and Universal App and C Sharp, you can do that using IoT Core. If you prefer to go Node or C, you can actually use Raspbian and benefit from what the community is building and showing. And so these are the various options. And when it comes to connecting to the cloud, our SDK for what we call the Azure IoT Hub, and we'll talk maybe a bit more about the actual, you know, services. So the Azure IoT Hub, which is that device gateway service, comes with SDKs for various languages supporting various platforms, and we definitely want to have all the options available for developers. So if you go with the Pi, and we talk about the other ones, you go with the Pi, you can develop with C and Node on Raspbian, or you can develop using Universal Apps on Windows IoT Core. So like all the yeah. all the choices are there for
definitely a plus for the Pi is a strong community behind it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different samples out there, so we really like it because of that. It's been there for a while, and we're very excited to have it.
Now, before we move off of this one, because the Pi does offer so many choices, can you briefly help people decide, if I have a Pi, should I run Windows or should I run Linux? And regardless of which OS I'm running, which language should I write in? Should I write in, you know, something high level like Python or Node, or should I get down to the metal and run C? Is it possible to explain how to make those choices quickly?
So it's easy and hard to explain, because it's easy in the sense that it depends on you guys, because that depends on where you're standing from your development skills, from your development preferences, and also from what you're trying to achieve. Not all platforms and languages will offer everything as an option, right? If you want to tinker at a very low level, and you know, with the various registers of your drivers for controlling that or that, then obviously going C is the best way, and not being too abstract from the OS is the best way. Mm-hmm. So C on Linux definitely seems to be a good choice for that. If you prefer, you know, a more abstract or high level language, right? Then you can go for Node, you can go for C Sharp. You can actually also run C Sharp and Raspbian on top of Mono, it works as well. And so it's a lot about, you know, how comfortable you are with these languages, right? If you are a C Sharp developer building C Sharp app for mobile space, for example, you might want to try out like doing the exact same thing on the Pi to do your, you know, Maker project.
Yeah.
And so that might be, you know, your how comfortable you are with that of that language. And last but not least is what the community provides around, because very often you don't start from scratch.
Yeah.
You actually start from a sample.
Yeah.
And so you look at this great sample of this guy who built that, you know, fish tank monitoring system. You say, I want to do the same thing. And it's been developing using that or that. And then you say, I want to reproduce that before I do my own or customize. Yeah. And so you'll start with something you already have out there. And so based on what the community offers or has to offer, you will go for one or another. Yep. So it's really a matter, I don't think there's one better than another in general. It's more a matter of what you're trying to do and what you're comfortable with that will make it happen.
Yeah.
Building on that, though, I would really like to say that the Windows folks have done a tremendously amount of work in putting together really easy samples for folks to get started. There's a web page called windowsondevices.com.
Okay.
So if you're definitely interested in developing Windows 10 IoT Core solutions on the Pi, it's a great way to get started. There's a lot of examples. It's a really easy ramp up. And we definitely recommend it.
Okay, awesome.
Cool.
Okay, so more about the Adafruit Raspberry Pi Kit. What else comes in this? We've got it displayed on the screen here. It looks like a bunch of wires and stuff. Do I have to be a genius?
You do not have to be a genius.
Okay.
Fortunately, we are not genius ourselves, so we designed
That's
it.
That's helpful.
So what you will find in the Pi is essentially something like this, which is a breadboard. The breadboard is basically the place where you connect all the different cables in order to actually make it run, and you will see here on the screen that there's a bunch of like LED sensors, temperature humidity sensors, and a couple of other sensors that we put together with the cable and the shield for everything ready for you to get started. It also comes with an SD card that has Windows 10 IoT Core pre-built. And really everything that somebody needs to go ahead and do, like, you know, those first 5 projects or first 10 projects using this board.
Is it a good time to talk about the instructions that we have for all the kits? Because I think
talking
about what's in the kit is great, and these sensors and what's in the box actually is there for a reason, right? Not just randomly. All of these kits will allow you to do 2 main things in these instructions, right? So we have 2 main scenarios that are described. Obviously, you don't have to stick to them. If you want to add your own sensors and so on, get inspired by these instruction sets.
Yeah.
But basically what these do, they allow you to do connect your device to what we call the Azure IoT Suite remote monitoring solution, which is one of these pre-configured solutions that get you started really fast with something already deployed. And we'll talk a bit more about that, and we'll show some of what it looks like. And then there's a DIY sample that drives you through like all the deployment of the various services you can use and the deployment of the code on the device in order to connect to that and do something smart with it. So we have these 2 scenarios, Azure IoT Suite suite and do it yourself that each of these kits will allow you to do. And it happens so that the sensors that are in there, some of the sensors that are in there contribute to these scenarios.
Okay.
So temperature, humidity is something you'll find again and again. But once again, this is just an example of what you can do, and you can totally customize from there and or ignore the getting started guides if you want to,
right? Do it yourself.
Which I know a lot of people do, but these are really good for you to get started. So,
sure.
Each of them will offer you the opportunity to do the exact same kind of scenarios at the end of the day in different ways, because all of them have their own specificities.
Yep. So it's not printed instructions in the box. I go online, which is great, because then as they evolve, you know, I'm always looking at the latest version. So here, I pulled up this same link I was just sharing with you guys. The first one is the Adafruit Raspberry Pi Kit. So you're saying I can click on Get Started here.
Yep.
And then that's going to give me the walkthrough step by step.
Yes.
Exactly.
And you'll notice that actually there's a link to the GitHub repo.
Okay.
All of these samples are open source, obviously, and open for contributions.
Oh, wonderful.
So if you guys find this bug in our code, which might happen, we're not that good. We're good, but not that good.
There's a bug in your LED blink loop.
Yeah. So guys, contribute, file issues.
If you
find that there's something interesting to do to add or do differently, or you have more experience than us on these boards,
let us know.
Contribute, send a pull request, and we'll be happy to merge that into the project and so forth.
Good. All right. Okay, so what's the next board?
So the next board we have here is an Intel Edison board, and we call this the Grove IoT Developer Kit.
I got the wrong one up there. Hold on a second. Okay, there
we
go. Go ahead.
Yes, this is the one. The reason why we call that is called Grove IoT Developer Kit is because it comes with Grove sensors.
Okay.
Grove sensors is specifically a type of sensor developed by Seed, which is a Chinese manufacturer that we've partnered with.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of our audience will probably know about them.
Right.
And what's really cool about this is the Intel Edison chip. And
super small.
Yeah, and what really cool about this is that it actually comes with an Arduino shield that you can use to simply just plug and play your sensors.
Mm-hmm.
So this node is running like a Yocto version, which is Linux essentially. Mm-hmm. So if you're kind of like a mobile developer that's using to like JavaScript or Java or that kind of environment, and you don't really want to worry too much about how to handle the wiring and the components, and you're looking for more of a plug-and-play approach,
mm-hmm.
this is great. The Intel Edison is a very powerful board as well. It's on the beefier side together with the Raspberry Pi. Almost feels like a Linux box when you're inside it. And it's really easy to get started on it with Node.
And not only it's easy on the hardware side of things, as it's plug-and-play, because you have these little connectors. And so if you're more into the electronics, you'll see that you have some analog connectors, some digital ones.
Yeah.
They're all the same format. And then you have I2C, and you have UART. So basically, these are all like very common ways of connecting sensors to a board. But on the software side of things, actually, the way we are implementing the samples, we're using Node.js. Which actually is growing in terms of popularity in the IoT space and in the maker space because it's very convenient. Lots of developers also come from the web development space, and so they're very familiar with JavaScript. And the goodness is that there's tons of libraries out there. There's tons of tools. There's tons of modules. And so you can leverage Johnny Five, Silen, and all these things that actually will allow you to add these various sensors in your code. As was the matter of like one line of code each time. So it actually makes also super easily and plug and play to build the software, and you then can just focus on what is it I'm trying to achieve with that? What is the logics on the device? How I'm connecting to the cloud, and what is it I'm going to do out of that data, and how I'm going to control these devices back? So think more about all what's happening, you know, at a high level, rather than have to focus too much on what's down there.
Yeah.
Because one of the challenges that a lot of developers tell us about is like, well, is building the abstraction layer between the sensor and your application,
mm-hmm.
right? So sometimes you find the sensor that you want, but it's not ported to the language that you wanted.
Right.
And the community contribution sometimes in some boards is a little bit less small. This one, for example, we're using Johnny 5, which is a widely known library, in order to abstract the layer between the sensors and Node. That means that at the end of the day, all you have to do is call a library, essentially tell it where your sensor is plugged into one of these buttons that we have in here, and then you're good to go.
And if I wanted to take my code and port it to a Raspberry Pi or a BeagleBone or whatever, as long as I'm talking to Johnny Five, it's
exactly your exact same software will run on various platforms with that abstraction.
The Edison and Node.js are actually one of my highest platforms of choice. And I'll give a little plug for TweetMonkey. I have a project out there that does exactly what you said, which is take advantage of the 250,000 Node modules, Node packages that are out there on NPM. And I use the Twitter module and communicate with Twitter, and it's the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah, it's really easy.
So actually, as you mentioned, NPM, the Azure IoT Hub SDK is available on NPM as a module. So if you want to connect your device using Node to Azure IoT Hub, the only thing you have to do is actually add in package JSON, the reference to the SDK
easiest
module,
thing in the world.
And then do a require, and then you just connect and send messages and receive messages. In terms of security, some more like things to do, but we describe exactly how to do that, and you'll be surprised how easy, because when you're, especially when you're coming from the device development side of things, you're just like, wow, the cloud's going to be complicated, I need to authenticate, and then I need to log in, and then it's going to be like switching tools and portals and whatever. You'll be very surprised how easy it is.
Yeah,
and if you're a Node developer, you can do everything Node command line, and then you can retrieve your connection strings for your device and plug that into your code and run. It's going to be like a breeze. Like that's getting started guide if you're a Node.js developer. I'm sure you're going to burn that in 10 minutes, 15 minutes, because it's so straightforward. And we're trying to actually adapt what we're delivering to the various communities. So when it's Node, we're talking NPM. When it goes to Java, we're talking Maven. When it goes to Linux boards and C, we're going through apt-get to distribute our packages, and NuGet for Windows IoT Core.
Yeah.
And everything for us is about simplifying the developer's life,
making it
like super easy.
Wonderful. What's our next board?
So the next board we have here is the Feather M0 Wi-Fi board. So now we're switching from the beefier side of the IoT boards to kind of like the more constrained devices. The Feather M0 Wi-Fi, it's the one of the latest boards from Adafruit. It comes with a Cortex M0 processor, which is the lowest consumption in the ARM processor style, which is really cool. It also has Wi-Fi enabled. So it's amazing that it's like this small board, you actually have Wi-Fi, you have everything you really need to start developing.
Yeah.
So the usage, obviously this being a constrained device, is very suitable for environments such as like Arduino or developing in C. So when we announced actually the starter kits, we also announced with it like a brand new Azure IoT Arduino library.
Okay.
So folks who are into Arduino and want to start developing on it, they can choose predefined samples, and things are pretty easy for them.
Yeah. You know, as it turns out, even though I really love the idea of being able to use a powerful device and run Node on it, have access to all these packages, a lot of scenarios are just read the temperature. They're really simple. So whether you like the wiring language or not, it may just be great. And then you have all of these advantages of a low power board, easy installation.
Yeah, totally. Actually, talking about low power, these guys, you can actually run them on a battery way longer than these other bigger ones, right?
Yeah, right.
Like the Pi, you would definitely want to have that connected to the power. The Intel Edison can run on a battery for some amount of time,
sure.
Right? You would have to recharge.
But think
it's
of like it as
more
milliamp.
Of a mobile device. Yeah,
it's like 300 milliamps, so it takes quite a battery.
It does. But these guys, actually starting from here to down there, these can run on battery. Actually, I had one of them running, I think, on a Sync Dev. We'll talk about it later, but these range of devices running on a battery, Bluetooth Low Energy, for the last 6 months or 10 months in my backyard, measuring moisture in my backyard and talking to another device in my house.
Yeah.
And that thing just on a little like AAA battery.
Wow.
And it was like, no problem. It was just like, boom, as a beacon sending its data regularly. But still, I was able to write the code myself, deploy on it, and just run that.
And I think you touched on something very important before, which is what we call the simple scenarios, right? There's a lot of what we call binary IoT, which is the simple scenario where all you care is about sending a zero or a one out there. Like, and for example, we had a project the other day where somebody was talking about cattle management. And all they wanted to know is like, has any cattle crossed the board today, yes or no?
Yeah.
And that's all they really want. So you don't really need to spend a lot of money or a lot of resources implementing that scenario.
Yeah.
So for that kind of thing, IoT is really growing a lot for those kind of scenarios, and I'm sure that a lot of the folks that are watching now have a lot of simple scenarios. Oh, I can actually do the moisture temperature or control my dog or whatever. Yeah. You don't need to send a lot of data. A lot of things. Sometimes a lot of people think IoT is like constant stream of data flowing into the cloud all the time. It's not at all. Sometimes you just need to send one bit a day.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And the thing actually also, which is interesting about IoT in general, is the idea that then you can have various type of data sources contribute to an IoT solution. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the cattle, so there's like several things that are interesting where they are, but eventually it can have another type of sensor measuring other things like the temperature or the wind or I don't know, whatever.
How loud the cows are.
How loud the, damn cows. Dong, dong. So, but basically, what happens is that as soon as you can connect each of these various types of devices sending different types of data to the same IoT solution through the cloud, sometimes you want to do that on a gateway. But if these devices are directly connected, how about just like dumping the gateway and going directly into the cloud and having your application in the cloud gathering the various data, showing on a dashboard, like combining that data to do the analytics with the rules that you want, and then take action. So it's really a lot about these tiny devices that can be directly connected because they have Wi-Fi connection. So in your house, you can have one to control your garage door, another one to control your mailbox, and or to tell you if there's mail, whatever. And all of these can now contribute to your home automation solution or to your whatever solution using IoT in the cloud.
One of the typical use cases for this is what we call predictive analytics, right? So imagine that you have, your dog, it's in your yard, right? And you really don't want the dog to escape. But you want to see how the dog runs through the day when you're not there and identify the dog's pattern. And you'd be able to say, your dog is actually very excited. There must be something going on outside. There's 80% chances that your dog is going to jump the fence. Mm-hmm. That seems like a silly scenario, but when you put it into the enterprise, and for a lot of applications, like as think about when this particular industrial machine is going to go bad or is going to like have to do maintenance repair, a lot of these projects actually start from like the most casual implementation that you would think. But it's a great way to get deeper into technologies like machine learning and the likes.
So I think the takeaway there is never be discouraged by the size of the project that you're working on. Even you're working on a project with your 12-year-old and you guys are implementing something that feels silly, but it's probably not a big stretch from that silly project to one that's going to save, $80,000 electric motor or something.
And one thing, we're starting to get into, the notions of machine learning, like smart analytics and so on, things that I know for a fact are scaring out, like, hardware developers, the guys who are building these things that are actually producing the data. The same way we do provide very simple SDKs for connecting these devices, there's tons of SDKs out there for each of these services. So if you start looking into the Cortana analytics stuff, you start looking into what there is in Azure IoT, you'll figure that if you're a Python developer, if you're a Node developer, if you're a C# developer, actually you have very simple APIs to access all of these, right? Yeah. And so you want to do a smart thing that actually does an analytics on Twitter sentiment and add voice recognition to your IoT solution so they can talk to your door to open and let people in only if they are happy on Twitter or something, I don't know. Or, like you don't come in if you don't have a good Twitter, right? So I don't know, anything crazy? Well, it comes down to very simple APIs to use in your IoT solution and combining data from devices with data coming from cloud services becomes super easy. We're trying to put together these end-to-end samples. We're trying to actually also have the community working on these, and we'll have more and more along the time. Get inspired. Just like imagine something, and I'm sure it's possible.
Yeah. Yep. Sure. What's our next board?
Our next board is the Feather Huzzah.
Okay.
So this is based on this little board here. It's based on the very famous ESP8266 system of chip. So we wanted to put the set of kids, as we mentioned before, we wanted to give a wide range of what really a lot of IoT developers are using out there. So the ESP8266 is definitely becoming more and more popular by developers. Yeah. So we want to make sure we show strong Azure IoT connection with these kind of boards. It also has like its battery powered It has a USB connection, and it obviously leverages as well the Arduino libraries. We've implemented the board-specific logic, so folks all have to do is load the libraries on Arduino, and they're good to go. And as we've seen before, the price decreases between all the different boards that we have so far. So this one, it's I think it goes for about like $70.
Okay.
So which it ends up making
it. Is that the
it,
whole kit?
Or yeah, the
yeah,
whole kit.
With the sensors.
Yeah, with the sensors. I think it's even less than that, like $60-something, which makes it really, really affordable if for example, you have a project that requires 10 of them.
Yeah, right.
Because you want to put it all about your yard, all about whatever you are. So definitely we've seen a lot of traction, and it contains a lot of like different sensors, including like buttons to like open, like simulate your garage door open, and like really fun stuff. It also leverages the breadboard as well. So you have to do your wiring. There's no solder required, but as soon as you get into it, you probably want to start doing that more and more.
Yeah.
So again, definitely.
But you like the smell of it, right?
Yeah, you like the smell of it. Like Olivia likes the smell of it. And it's definitely a great choice for those who really want to play around. And if they, obviously we have all the technical details on the difference between the system of chips. We encourage you folks to go to Azure IoT Starter Kit's page to keep learning about it. But definitely, if you're into ESP8266, this is a great option. It actually has a lot of memory as well. We'll talk about the difference with the ThinkBand board, which is very similar. Yeah. But this is quite a beefy board for what it is.
Okay.
But you'll see something I want to bring up. So even though that's a 40 megahertz, like, and this one has 4 megs of RAM. So we are seeing that we're getting down in terms of size.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I want to bring up is that we are always talking about IoT. And these days you hear about like security for IoT. And, you know, and what we want to make sure is that any connection from a device to Azure IoT is secure. That the device is authenticated.
How do you do
that? And actually, in order to do that, we have like various ways, like smart ways. Smart ways from people who are doing encryption, we're doing authentication, and we have all that crammed into our services and into our SDKs for the devices. So we put a lot of effort at actually building a C SDK, a core C SDK that is like as little as possible, still super secure, does the right authentication, does the right encryption of all the data. And so these devices, even though they're super small, when they run our libraries, they are still safe and secure.
Okay.
So these things authenticate to the services. This thing encrypts everything they're sending. And they are sure that, they ensure also through the SDK that what you receive from the cloud is something, you know where it's coming from. So you don't have someone who's going to hack into your home automation system to open your garage door, because the guy will not have access to what's super secure, which is the cloud services that actually command your devices.
Yeah.
And we ensured that the man-in-the-middle attack is close to impossible. Nothing is impossible.
Sure.
But we make it super hard for anyone, especially with a regular equipment, to hack into your system. Because all of that is encrypted. All of that is authenticated. The authentication keys, let's just give you an example, they die after an hour or something when you use our SDKs, meaning that if someone tries and hook into the thing, you know, he will not be able to do so after that key is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had that notion of, you know, of changing these keys, of securing all of that. Another thing is that with Azure IoT Hub service, you have full control over your devices. So if you think something is wrong, what you can do is like go to the portal or use an API and say, boom, that device is not authorized anymore.
Yeah.
So like you see something wrong in your data because you have your monitor app, or eventually you have a tweeter, it just came out like something is wrong here because you have smart analytics with machine learning, whatnot. And you can have full control over your list of devices, kill one, keep another one, whatever. And so all of that on the device side is like super tiny, but still super safe and secure.
Yeah.
Thanks to all the work we're doing. And if you're like really are the kind of guy who wants to see, to trust, check out the code. Like everything is open source out there.
Yeah.
And if you see something like that, like that doesn't look good in there, just let us know. Send a pull request, same thing. We accept contributions from the outside.
We're basically bringing in the requirements of security that the enterprise has, which is like maximum, obviously, to any kind of developer.
Yeah.
I think that's a very powerful message.
For sure.
And from an Azure Internet of Things standpoint, we don't want to compromise the size of your device with security.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think that's actually a way to go. We don't think there's a security should be compromised anytime.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we do all the efforts to make that happen.
Yeah, that's fascinating. All right, and then we've got one more, right?
Yeah.
One more. ThinkDev.
Yeah, so the ThinkDev board is essentially think of it like the tiniest possible way, or like in a kit fashion, so to speak. I mean, there's this, with IoT, you can always go smaller. This is for phones who also is also based on an ESP8266.
Okay.
But it's a little bit more reduced in terms of like memory and other characteristics. So for folks that are really looking into something very affordable, this goes for like a little less than $40.
Okay.
With sensors and breadboard and everything you need. And also has like Wi-Fi built in, but it has some obviously limitations, but we really think it's getting a lot of traction because it's a very stable board. SparkFun provides also a lot of documentation on it, and it's really, really fun to play around with it. And as you say, if you want to scale your prototype for like, you want to have 20 devices out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, $10 or $20 really started making a difference.
Yeah.
So that's why we wanted to make sure that the folks out there had like the very affordable prototyping board that they can go with.
Now, I know that I've played around with the 8266 just by itself, and that one's fun to imagine putting into scenarios because it's so cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think you can get it for as low as $2 mm-hmm. for the 8266.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, that's without any, you know, sensors or boards or
yep.
anything. And also, the nice thing about the 8266 base devices from SparkFun and Adafruit is that they take this really nice chip that has built-in Wi-Fi, and they make it easier to work with,
yep,
right?
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, they're actually plugged into the Arduino IDE.
Uh-huh.
So actually, same thing. Use libraries from the IDE to add the sensors to your program.
Yeah,
like
right.
fairly straightforward and easy. You want mm-hmm. to add Azure IoT connectivity. Same thing. There's a library in the IDE that you just add.
Yep.
And off you go.
Yeah.
So that's actually not even like scary in terms of the development because it becomes easier and easier.
Yeah. Right.
We basically did a lot of like heavy bulk in terms of like we put together the abstraction for the board and we put together the abstraction of connecting to Azure and creating the samples in Arduino. So everybody feels that, you know, connecting from a small board that a lot of people use, like do very limited cases, all of a sudden in like 10, 15 minutes, you can get into all the different cloud services and start to do whatever you want with your data.
Okay, now we looked at 5 kits here, and each yep. of these had a get started link so that somebody
yep.
can go read the directions to do it. But you were showing me that there's also on your GitHub a getting started section. So I'm going to jump out here to GitHub/Azure/Azure-IoT-SDKs. We'll put that down here.
Yep.
And if you go in there and you click on, what is it, doc?
You go to docs.
Let me make this a little bigger for people.
Yeah, so you click on doc.
Okay, right there.
And then you go to get started.
Get started.
And you will see, I think the list today is almost 100 different kind of devices that you can get started with. We've been working a lot with our different hardware partners
uh-huh.
because they're also super interested in having their hardware devices connected to the internet, obviously, because it's something that a lot of customers are requiring. So we've been collaborating with them a lot in order for them to provide us samples.
Mm-hmm.
So they contributed the samples, we put them on our GitHub. So, and this goes from like prototyping boards to enterprise gateways, right?
Yeah.
Like we have folks like Advantech or Nexcom or HP and Dell. Mm-hmm. Putting their samples on how to get started there. So if you purchase a kit and you really want to understand or move it to a different kind of scenario because it's something that you need in your company or for whatever reason, there's like literally 100 examples and growing
so,
every day.
So this is fun because it means that I can have a given solution, like say I'm doing something in my yard, like you're measuring your temperature in the yard, and I need, for this solution, I need to have 4 different devices. And it makes sense to have a really small one,
yep.
and a really fast one, and a really low power one, and then a Raspberry Pi.
Yep. yep.
And I have all 4 of these boards, but these guys are all talking to the same service in the cloud, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
Azure's kind of the common denominator
Correct.
Of this solution.
Yep.
It is, definitely. And as a matter of fact, I'm asked very often when I show that list, like, by people, some people are just like, wow, that's a huge list. And
mm-hmm.
other ones are just like, that's it?
Because
out there, we know there are billions of devices
right.
and millions of types of devices. And so these are just a part of what can be done with Azure mm-hmm. IoT because these are actually the hell world. Like, hey, do that. We cannot
okay.
do that for millions of
sure.
devices.
Sure.
However, our SDKs supporting the various languages, they do come with basic samples
okay.
that run everywhere. Like the C1 is actually an NCC SDK portable, runs on microcontroller, runs all the way up to a Linux or a Windows box, right? It's the same exact code. Mm-hmm. And you can port that to your new board or to your new platform, your new OS. Yeah. We actually had partner porting that to Windows CE very easily. Yep. We had actually the port to these little tiny microcontroller done on with the C SDK. So if you have a board that's not listed there, that doesn't mean you cannot use it, yep. right? Especially if you know about that board a little, you might have very little work to do to port the C SDK to that board. We do have actually a porting guide that tells you what to look into, what to change.
And that's just to get the advantage of an SDK. You could also just use the REST protocol, right?
Totally. You could actually definitely just use the REST protocol. It adds some, you know, complexity to the authentication mechanism and so on. But you can definitely do that as well.
Yeah.
If you're a Node developer, the Node, like in principle, Node runs everywhere, right?
So, yeah,
so you can do that. Java, same thing. The Java SDK actually will run pretty much everywhere. I actually also played with Xamarin. If you're a mobile developer and you like doing Xamarin code on your mobile device and use a mobile device as the gateway to Azure IoT Hub, no problem. You can use your mobile device running Xamarin on iOS or Android.
Interesting.
And so that's the options are wide open, and the SDKs are in there. They're not limited to what you send the list or to these five kits. Yeah. These are actually things for you to get started faster, but you have way more out of the box in the Azure IoT stuff.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about the device list that you see here in the tutorial is like if you post an issue that has to do with the hardware, the hardware partner is gonna reply.
They're gonna jump on it.
They're there. Sure. They know that their samples are there. So like it really depends, right? If you're looking for like a safe road because maybe you have already that device or your company has told you that you need to use this kind of gateway or whatever, you know you have a direct communication there between us and the hardware partner, which makes it really easy for developers to like troubleshoot. And we, as a matter of fact, every time, sometimes we see issues and we link the partners like, hey, something's going on with the latest update you do on your firmware. Can you check? Because we have, and then they do a new pull request and they upgrade it. So that's the main advantage. But by all means, like our libraries are highly portable.
Okay, one more question. There are a lot of providers out there now that are trying to implement the cloud side of the IoT solutions. What are the unique advantages for Azure IoT?
So I think there are several. The two ones that I can see right off the box like that is the first one is the bidirectionality of the connectivity.
Okay.
So once you've established a connection from a device to the cloud, you can actually not only send telemetry data up to Azure, but you can address the devices per device from the cloud, the services, or from an application. Because I want to send a message to my garage door sensor number 5.
Okay.
You can do that with the same connection that is used to send data up to the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So the bidirectionality is built in that connectivity in a secure way. So that's one thing. The other one I see is the diversity of the language support for the SDKs on both sides, on the service side and on the device side, and the broad range of platform support.
Okay.
Like all the way from these microcontroller up to Linux, where as a developer, as a tinkerer, as a maker, you don't have to reinvent the wheel or redevelop the stack that you shouldn't be focusing on. We do that for you. And so you can just like use what exists out there. And the community is building around it with more samples coming in. Axtra.io is picking up as well. And we see more and more projects using Azure IoT in there. And so I think there's that notion of like pretty much any type of device is connectable to Azure IoT in an easy way, right?
I would also build on saying like we have not only we have the client SDKs, but we also have a gateway SDKs. Mm-hmm. So in case you want to do like protocol translation in your gateway between Modbus or whatever other custom protocols out there that typically vary by industry vertical, right?
Okay.
We just released actually last week like a gateway SDK that allows you to do that protocol translation and even help you even more to run this kind of like device to gateway and gateway to cloud scenario.
Okay.
That's one. Number two is we also have like a full device management story. You know, you're able to manage your device. We haven't talked too much here about this because it's more of an enterprise kind of feature. But the ability to do device management at scale with millions of devices is huge.
Yeah.
And finally, I would say the fact that we have pre-configured solutions that are open source for you to get started. Because one thing that a lot of developers struggle with is like, okay, I'm great, I understand hardware, I get hardware, but it's very scary to me doing advanced analytics in the
sure.
cloud.
Yeah.
So by being able to play around with pre-configured solutions, what we're doing for you is put together a cloud architecture.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that saves them months in order how to figure out how to stitch the pieces together. And the cool thing is that our pre-configured solutions are open sourced.
Yeah.
So they also have a repo, and you can see what we built, take what you need, and take it from there.
Yeah.
So the ability for you to like really start from prototype to production as fast as possible is something that we see as a key differentiator of using Azure services, right?
Okay.
A tight integration.
Those are really strong arguments. I brought the remote monitoring, this packaged solution
yep.
that you're
yep.
talking
yep.
about up on the screen. And the thing I like about that is that after I create it, it doesn't exist as a service in a box. It actually has created all those resources for
correct.
Me, and then I can go customize those.
Yep.
Tweak the website to, you know.
Yep. It's totally. what an SI would put for you in like a few months of like consulting and work and everything and multiple workshops. If you wanted the remote monitoring, we'd gather that know-how and we put it for you.
Yeah.
Then you may, for example, you may choose that you don't really want to use this particular technology. You don't want to use maybe DocDB for your storage. Okay,
mm-hmm.
you can replace that piece and put it somewhere else.
Yeah.
You want to do your visualization maybe somewhere different.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally fine because everything is open source. So what we're doing is just giving you a hand
mm-hmm.
in order for you to get started.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's definitely your boilerplate for building your own solution.
Yes, yeah.
That's the way I see it. And the other thing we didn't mention is that when you look at that architecture, you're just starting to scratch your head, especially if you're not very familiar with Azure.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, so that's a lot of services that I'm seeing here, right?
Right.
Well, it's not a lot if you're familiar with cloud solutions. But in
yeah.
that case, it's kind of different types of services that you need to hook up together. Each of them will have their own, you know, authentication mechanism and security policies and so on. The goodness is that to deploy that, it takes one click on the website and a couple of entry, like a solution name
mm-hmm.
and a location, like in terms of the Azure
yep.
location to deploy, and
tough.
Boom, deploy.
Yeah.
And so it totally simplifies the way you should see an IoT solution in the cloud. Obviously, then you will customize. You will get familiar with these various
sure.
services, understand what they each do and how you can work with them. But for you to get started and see something working, as in seeing actual telemetry data coming from these sensors, and start putting rules to get in place for reacting to a threshold, and then sending messages back to the devices,
yeah.
it just takes, like
well,
honestly, like a click on a website and entering
yeah.
a text, and that's it, and you get that.
Yeah, and that's my favorite part, is that as soon as I create it, it looks like I have data, and I'm like, wait a minute, I haven't even hooked up the temperature sensor yet, you
yep.
know?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
we've got these simulated devices. I'm like, well, that's really cool, because now yep. I can see what it's going to look like when I have real data.
I'll give you an example. The other day, we ran a lab with people that were not really familiar, were not developers, that I techie people, but not really hands-on. We ran a lab with them, connecting one of our boards to the remote monitoring solution, and I think it took them less than an hour.
Ah, nice.
And that's for people who really never play too much around
mm-hmm.
with the board. So that's really powerful, right?
Yeah.
You're able to see something real time, and then you know you can explore and do your thing. I think it eliminates a lot of like the fears of
mm-hmm.
what the cloud really means.
Yeah. Sure.
And actually, one of the feedback we got, like from most of the people, if not all of them, was like, whoa, that was easy.
Yeah.
Because the perception they had when starting
yeah.
with it was
it
like,
hard.
Wow, and we planned for an hour. I'm not sure I'm going to make it. I see this instruction set is kind of short.
Yeah.
And so when you get into that, the first impression is like, well, that's going to be hard. I'm not sure I'm going to make it.
Yep.
And like whatever your level is in development, in hardware tinkering, whatnot, you will realize that actually it's pretty straightforward and easy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the surprise that people get when they look into the kits and the instruction set to get started and the pre-configured solution for Azure IoT Suite. It's not hard.
All right. Well, guys, let's call that a wrap unless there's anything else you want to throw in there.
No, I mean,
no.
we're excited.
Should we
for
joke
people,
something?
Yeah. No, we're excited for people to start testing it
yeah.
out. And as we said, please post your comments on GitHub. We're constantly monitoring them. We're there to help you. And any great ideas that you guys have, please let us know.
All right, yeah, so check
awesome.
Out the Azure.com IoT Starter Kits link and also the GitHub link down below. And how about you guys' social handles so that people can shout out about the projects they're working on?
At Oblock on Twitter.
Okay.
Down there.
That's pretty much.
Okay.
Microsoft IoT. I'm
okay.
not a Twitter person myself.
There you go.
It's not very social.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us on The Maker Show. We'll see you next time. Thank you.